My mind goes back to an experience Hannah and I had, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was some while ago. We were in a country in Africa, and we were in a church service, and I was speaking there. And before the message, they took up the offering. And this offering was just something you'll never forget. I mean, people came forward with their most beautiful clothing on, and they had money in their hands, and they would make a great demonstration of putting the money in the basket. And this went on, you know, for I don't know how long, but for a number of minutes. And I thought to myself, boy, if this is an example, if anybody wants an example of how to pick up offerings in a way that is demonstrative and unforgettable, this is it. Actually, once again, in this passage from the Gospel of Matthew that we've just heard, we actually confront again the genius of Jesus, because he's talking about things that are actually very deep. And in order to get to the essence of what he's saying, I have picked out four phrases from the gospel reading that we've just heard to reflect with you on. Four phrases, four key phrases that I think get to the heart of what Jesus is saying. The first phrase is, reward from your Father in heaven. Reward from your Father in heaven. What is this reward that we might be getting from our Father in heaven? Is it a cruise? Is it a raise? It is a mountain of ice cream? What is this reward? There is a reward that Jesus is talking about that comes to us from our Father in heaven. Now, to me, the reward is best described as spiritual benefit. Jesus is saying there is a way to receive from your Father in heaven, spiritual benefit. What does a spiritual benefit look like? Well, a very quick overview of human history is we were created by God in his likeness. What is God like? Well, God is a communion. You ever thought about that? God is a fellowship. God is a communion. Three persons that are one but three. God is a communion. We are created in his likeness. What does it mean? We are created for intimacy. So the human being, at the very essence, the very foundation of who we are created for relationship. We are created for fellowship. Fellowship is not deep enough. We are created for communion. We are created for intimacy. And we were created that our need for intimacy would be met. How? Moment by moment, communion with our Father. That's how we're created. As a fish is created for water, we are created for the presence of God. And then we made the decision, disastrous, to go away from him. We thought we knew better. I thought I knew better. I remember the time in my life I pushed God away. I thought, you know, I don't want to be, you know, this thing of God all the time. Leave me alone. I can figure it out myself. I got some better ideas. And I had no idea the damage that I was doing. Not only did I lay upon myself guilt, but I created serious damage within me. So much damage that I didn't know the way, how to get home, how to get back to where I needed to be. And in that context, God sent Jesus to show the way, to be the way. And the way that Jesus shows is the way back to intimacy with God. And it's in intimacy with God that spiritual life, spiritual transformation, spiritual blessing, spiritual newness, eternal life takes place in intimacy with God. That's the reward from our Father in heaven. That's the reward that's offered us in Christ. So that's the first phrase. The second phrase is your piety. So Jesus is referring to your piety. And in referring to our piety, he talks about three things. He talks about giving alms, he talks about fasting, and he talks about praying. Giving alms, fasting, and praying. Your piety. Do you notice that each of those three cost you something? Giving alms costs you something. Fasting costs you something. Praying costs you something. You know, as we get into the liturgy in a moment for Ash Wednesday, we're going to come across some terms that may not, in first reading, sound very appealing. For example, the term self-denial. Why? Why would I choose that? Why would I come to church to hear about self-denial? One that's even stronger, self-indulgent appetites. Boy, is there anything, can I choose something else other than denying my self-indulgent appetites? Why is denial connected with the reward that our Father offers us in Christ? Well, it's because of our damage. Christ came to give us a new life, but we have to choose it. He does it. We don't do it. He does it. But we have to choose it. God doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't push. He doesn't demand. He doesn't stomp his feet. He offers. But we have to choose. And the choosing of walking with Jesus day by day involves putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So we get to choose what is traditionally known as disciplines. We choose them. They cause us to give something up. They cause us to lose something. What do we lose? We lose the old man. It's a discipline. It's a process to make space for the Holy Spirit to create the new man within us. Our piety. Three activities. In each of these activities, there is blessing from God, or there can be. How do I break the grip of money? What if I know that money has a grip on me, and I wonder how I can break that grip? Well, one answer is give it away. Give more away than you think you can give away. That's a discipline that opens the way, because when we give money away, we open the way to receive the reward from our Father. Fasting. In fasting, we learn that we do not have to obey every demand of our bodies. And that's a foundational lesson that we need to learn as Christians. You know, we live in a day, brothers and sisters, where it is the prevailing belief of the culture that if we feel something, that immediately legitimizes it. If I feel it, I have the right to do it. That lands us in a great pile of wounding and disaster in our lives. And if there's anything that we need to learn, if there's anything we learn from Christ, it is we are not in bondage to the things that we feel. We have to learn to be able to live beyond that. And so fasting is a discipline. It's a school. It's a lesson. It's an activity that helps us learn that. If my body tells me it wants food, I have the right to choose not to give it food in order to focus on God. Prayer. Okay, the third phrase that comes to me that Jesus spoke, before others. When we engage in disciplines that have within them the power to produce spiritual benefit, if our motivation is the praise of other people, then those disciplines lose any power they have to bring spiritual benefit. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we went away from God, when we broke that relationship of intimacy for which we were created, it left this gigantic hole within our souls. And every human being, bar none, every human being is longing, hungering, yearning to find a way to fill that emptiness. And we try all kinds of things. And one huge thing we try is to impress other people. And this can take place right in Christian context, in the church, in Christian ministry, this thing can be fully blown. The pursuit of what somebody else thinks. We will never grow as Christians. We will never be able to receive the spiritual benefit of the reward our Father has for us when we are trying to get our need for love met through other people. It won't happen. And Jesus is telling us this. You know, if you bring your alms, but you do it so that somebody else will see, you've already got your reward. What do you want? You want somebody else to see you. Well, they've seen you, so you've already got your reward. There is no benefit in that. There is no spiritual value in that. A huge discipline that takes us towards spiritual maturity is we live our life in the audience of one. We live our life in the audience of one. We live our life before God and leave what other people think to whatever it is they want to think. We just leave that and live before God. And so then we come to this fourth term that Jesus used, in secret. You know, we come to the point in our Christian walk where those words in secret become so precious, so precious. It's in secret that we know intimacy with God. It is in secret that we learn to put off the old man. It is in secret that we hear the words of love that only our Father can speak that meet the needs of our soul. That emptiness in the heart of the human soul can only be met by hearing the words from our Father. George, I love you. Jane, I love you. Bob, I love you. Alice, I love you. And we know it is our Father who has said it. He loves us. Our Father loves us. And when we know the love of our Father, boy, what somebody else thinks, it just peels away. It just peels away. Have you ever been passed over? Somebody else was chosen and not you? You know, that can be a huge opportunity for spiritual blessing. Because it leads us into secret. So Jesus is inviting us in what he is saying in Matthew 6 into the secret place with God. Into the secret place where there's only God and me, God and you, God and us. Come with me to the hidden place, and there I will teach you my ways. Brothers and sisters, I wonder, do you have a hunger? A hunger to know God? Do you know God? Well, you may say, well, I know him. I've met him. I think. Sometimes I'm not sure, but I think I have. But I hunger for more. This morning, today, this season of Lent, the offer is once again on the table. I am your Father, George. Seek me. Be with me. Come with me into the secret place. Learn my ways. Let me transform you. Let me heal the damage that is within you because of your waywardness. Let me heal you. Let me forgive your sins. You know, brothers and sisters, again, the whole time of Lent, we talk about sin, rightly so. Of all the consequences of the fall, guilt is the easiest to solve. It's the easiest to solve. Can you hear me say that? It's the easiest to solve. Guilt is the easiest to solve. What do? Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Jesus is saying to us, George, I died for that sin. Bring that sin to me. Don't live with that sin. Don't let that sin bog you down. Don't go in. Bring your sin to me. Let me carry it. I'm the one who died for you. I came to die for you. Bring that sin to me. Now, once we bring our sin to him and our guilt is removed, then there's a lot of work to be done. A work of transformation. But it's in the secret place that the deep work of God in our lives is done. And this time of Lent is an invitation to enter with God into that secret place to learn his ways. Amen.